Hello, and welcome to the End Zone Podcast. It's been a long year, Trey, but it's starting to wind down. Today, we had our last day of multiple football games of the year. Always bittersweet. And we have a Super Bowl. The Los Angeles Rams will be playing the Cincinnati Bengals in SoFi Stadium on February 13th on NBC. We are here today to discuss how we got here. But Trey, before we do that, how are you doing, my friend?
Doing all right. I had a fun day watching football. Always a fun day on Championship Sunday. And we got two amazing games as a result. So I'm feeling good.
Absolutely. It feels like, you know, we can be honest, the wild card weekend did suck, but everything after that was awesome. These are some of the better playoffs I can remember. And although I know some people aren't thrilled about the Super Bowl matchup, I think it'll be interesting and intriguing to see how that all plays out in 2 weeks. So let's start in the NFC. The Rams beat the San Francisco 49ers by a score of 20-17, a game in which Matthew Stafford throws for 337 yards and two touchdowns, and a game that ends on a late Jimmy Garoppolo interception. Trey, this game was slow to start out, but then the Niners got in control. The Rams mismanaged the clock. They came back, had a field goal drive anyway. And in the end, Aaron Donald and the defense came out and won this game for the Los Angeles Rams to put them in the Super Bowl for the second time under Sean McVay.
Yeah, it was. This game was a bit of a defensive slugfest early. The Rams did indeed. I believe they got that early touchdown. But after that, it was really just Jimmy G, the 49ers run game, Deebo Samuel, the rest of those guys just going to work, methodically moving their way down the field, getting points, you know, not in bunches, but here and there, they'll sprinkle some points in every drive, other drive, you know, here and so. But once the second half hit, the Rams sort of stagnated, but then the fourth quarter hit and they found another gear. Matthew Stafford found Cooper Kupp to tie the game. And then after that, it was, like you said, the Rams defense just came up and shut things down. Really gave the offense plenty of times to go down the field and score, which, you know, had been stifled throughout the night. Because that 49ers defense was doing such a good job at winning the battle at the line of scrimmage and not giving Matthew Stafford a ton of time to throw down the field. There was a couple shots, you know, in the first half that Matthew Stafford took that had him limping, had him wincing in pain. The 49ers defensive line, that front four, that front seven, they were punishing Stafford early on. But the Rams, you know, rode on the opportunities that the defense gave them in the second half after they figured some things out offensively, and here they are in the Super Bowl. You know, they'll be playing in their home stadium, which, you know, before the Bucs did it last year, that had never happened. But now we're getting it in back-to-back years, which only proves that the NFL is one of the more amazing and odd oddities that's out there today that we know of. So good second half adjustments from the Rams. Good effort from them. Killer mistake by Jimmy G at the end to, you know, effectively end the 49ers' hopes of mounting the comeback. But it's just a good come from behind effort from the Rams. And yeah, now they're in the Super Bowl.
Yeah. And I mean, you look at this Rams team, and they have been about, really, since the trade for Matthew Stafford, going out and acquiring all-stars. And their all-stars showed up in this game. Matthew Stafford, the guy they trade 2 first-round picks for, comes out, has a tremendous game, throws one kind of weird interception, but other than that, has a very good game, a very solid performance, gets away with a deep interception that the 49ers should have picked off in the fourth quarter, but it's dropped by Tart, Jaquiski Tart, one of my favorite names. But then you look at some of these other guys, the Rams get down late in the game, Von Miller with three or four very key pressures. Odell Beckham Jr., a huge game, 9 receptions, 113 yards, a huge part of the offense. And then you look at the guys that have been on this team for years and who have really stepped up. Cooper Kupp, an absolute NFL all-star, coming through with some of the most clutch plays of the night, putting up 142 yards and 2 touchdowns. Just an absolute monster performance by him. And then, of course, you have Aaron Donald, who, to me, wins you the ball game when he gets in Jimmy G's face and forces him to make a really, really bad throw. Man, the Rams are an example of why you should just say, screw it. Draft picks don't matter. We have a roster and a coach we believe in. Let's put all our chips on the table and try to go win the dang thing, because that's what they've done. And there's been a lot of debate. Like, I don't know if you've seen this, Trey, on Broncos Twitter, of people saying, oh, you know, Aaron Rodgers isn't good because wouldn't be a good option because he's just a Band-Aid for 1 or 2 years. And then they're right back in the same area. Well, if you win a Super Bowl, that doesn't matter. And the Rams gave up their picks. They are going to be in cap hell, but guess what? They're back in the Super Bowl, and they've got a pretty good shot, I think, to win it 2 weeks from now.
Yeah, and it also is just another example of teams just, you know, just Super Bowl, you know, or teams that appear in the Super Bowl in general, that if you want to get there, or if you want to put yourself in a conversation to at least get near the Super Bowl, you need to invest a lot of capital, or at least, you know, the capital that you already have into a game changer at the quarterback position. I mean, last year, you know, of course, Tom Brady wasn't some crazy first round pick, but he's a Hall of Famer. He's the best quarterback of all time. He's the best, you know, maybe the best player of all time. Patrick Mahomes, I mean, he's had his mistakes over the past couple of years, but he's undoubtedly, you know, and arguably the best quarterback, you know, in football today. You know, insanely talented, you know, coached by a real good staff up there in Kansas City. And, you know, fast forward to now, you know, you get Matthew Stafford. The Rams traded a big contract from Jared Goff and some picks and got Matthew Stafford and really put themselves in the conversation to, you know, not only just appear in the Super Bowl, but win the Super Bowl. And, you know, the team they'll be facing in the Super Bowl in a couple weeks did the same thing as well. You know, not just, you know, investing a crap ton of capital, but choosing wisely on the capital that they had and getting a franchise quarterback as a result, you know, not just a franchise quarterback, but a franchise changer. You know, that's what you really want from your game changer quarterback, somebody that can come in and change the outcome, the trajectory, the potential of your franchise, you know, not just some guy to sell tickets or whatever, but to finally get you a chance to get to the promised land. So, It was a, you know, looking back on the deal, some people might have thought it was insane to give up all that draft capital for Matthew Stafford, you know, trade all those picks for Von Miller. You know, it's a good example, like you said, of just teams saying screw it and just going, you know, getting what they want and trying to go win it all. And, you know, it doesn't always work out that way. Sometimes, most of the time, it doesn't work out that way, but for the Rams, they have a special group of guys, a special team, and, you know, now they're going to be playing for a Super Bowl. You know, the whole dream end product of this whole idea of just throwing a whole bunch of draft picks out the window and trading for players and trading for different assets that can help you get to the Super Bowl and potentially win it. So good on the Rams for, I mean, at least recognizing that they had to just, you know, throw the draft capital out the window and just go do what they had to do, which was get Matthew Stafford. And they're reaping the rewards right now, and they could potentially reap even more rewards in a couple weeks.
Yeah. We will see how it all plays out. Let's get a few criticisms out of the way. Sean McVay, for like really the entire season, and this has been a trend that's been that I've noticed over the past few years, like, he is a great offensive mind, do not get me wrong, but he is not good with time management. Like, they ran out of timeouts so quickly here because of bad challenges and just miscommunications. Like, he needs to get someone to help him out with that, and he needs to get better because he's really bad with clock management and timeouts.
Yeah, and that was one thing that really confused me with the, you know, the last challenge in the second half that robbed the Rams with their last timeout of the second half. I mean, if in that situation, you need to have definitive proof that that challenge could go your way. And there, you know, I don't know what Sean McVay was thinking. I don't know who was in his ear telling him that, hey, you got to challenge this, do that. But there was just literally no definitive proof right there that that challenge was going to work out for him in the end. So hopefully Sean McVay can really work that out for his sake, because if he doesn't, then sooner or later it's going to catch up to him and it's going to rob him, not just him, but his team, of a chance to potentially win a football game. And you can only hope, you know, that sort of scenario doesn't go down in the Super Bowl, because losing the Super Bowl because of some really shoddy clock management crap, you know, that's one of the worst ways to lose. You'd rather lose, you know, a Super Bowl because somebody outright beat you, not because you threw the opportunity to win away because you don't know how to manage the clock. So, like I said, I hope Sean McVay figures that out for his sake before it comes back to bite him.
Yeah, you know, it'll be interesting to see if he can get that figured out. But a good win for the Rams, none. The less. Chiefs, Bengals, the Chiefs go into halftime with a 21-point lead and come out with a loss. What happened in that second half to the Chiefs, Trey?
I think what happened in the second half was two things. One, Lou, I'm going to screw up his name. Anarulo, gosh, I need to look up his name, but the Bengals defense coordinator put out a really good plan in the second half to slow down that Chiefs offense. What they did mostly in the second half is that they were mostly running a lot of coverage over the top to help, you know, limit the big plays, because the big plays killed the Bengals in the first half. So the Bengals were rolling a lot of guys in coverage in the back half of the secondary, and they were banking on their corners playing some sticky coverage, whether it was man or whether they were disciplined, you know, playing zone coverage. They were banking on their corners and their linebackers playing real good football, a real smart and instinctive football, to where the Chiefs wouldn't have, you know, too many plays underneath that would have, you know, allowed them to move the ball down the field. So I think that's really what they did. They also, you know, kept contain on Patrick Mahomes and keeping a lid on him, you know, and his running ability when he scrambles outside the pocket, because that also hurt the Bengals a good bit in the first half. But I think it was just a matter of the, you know, of that. And also the Chiefs simply just not getting it in the second half. You know, Patrick Mahomes, that was probably the worst I've ever seen Patrick Mahomes look since maybe last year's Super Bowl. And I don't know if that's fair, because Patrick Mahomes was under duress basically the entire game on a toe that needed surgery later on in the offseason. But Patrick Mahomes looked lost in the second half. He was missing throws. all over the place, missing some open receivers. You know, he was running into sacks, just not making smart football plays. It's just not something we've seen, you know, we're accustomed to seeing at Mahomes. You know, maybe that, you know, flashes back to the play that he was going through earlier on in the year when the teams were rolling with a lot of cover two, maybe some inverted cover three, where Patrick Mahomes simply just wasn't taking the plays available to him underneath and just making his way down the field. But that wasn't the case, you know, this game. Bengals were playing real disciplined football. And even when Patrick Mahomes had opportunities to make plays, he simply wasn't making them. I mean, that second half was a garbage second half for Mahomes. Probably the worst half of football I've seen from him. Sheesh, in the playoffs, you know, let alone the regular season. Patrick Mahomes hasn't looked bad in the playoffs, you know, until now. So, and it came in, you know, in the AFC Championship game, and it primarily one of the primary reasons that it sent the Chiefs home. So, just real bad football from Mahomes, real good defensive plan in the second half by the Bengals, and, you know, led to the result of the Chiefs blowing the lead and them going home, which I don't think anybody expected, especially after they got that big lead in the first half.
No, I definitely agree with that. I just feel like the way that Bengals defense came out in the second half was really good, but I felt like for the first time in his career, I could really pick out something that Patrick Mahomes was doing poorly. And I think that is when he gets into the red zone there, those few drives, like he holds on to the ball too long. Like he is always waiting for the play and he thinks things will happen. And he took so many unnecessary sacks, especially the one later in the game where he fumbled as well. Like you just got to know that's not the time to do that. Like you got to hold on to the ball and just like, you know what I mean? Like you got to be more careful in that moment and you can't always look to be the hero. Sometimes you just got to live to fight another play. And that's something that I really thought he didn't do well today. And honestly, it says a lot that we're 4 or 5 years in now, and this is really the first time I feel like I can be truly critical of a Patrick Mahomes trait because this did cost them the game.
Yeah, it did. And, you know, maybe, and well, not maybe, but Mahomes will likely learn from that bad second half that he had because, you know, it's hard. First off, it's hard to remember a bad second half, you know, as bad as he had in the second half, but two, because they need him to learn from this because, you know, like I said, Mahomes really hasn't ran into this kind of struggle, you know, sort of struggle play in the second half in the playoffs. You could say he did in the regular season earlier on in the year when teams were really causing the Chiefs a lot of fits, you know, based on the way they were playing them defensively in terms of scheme, coverage, and all that stuff. But they need him to move on from this and return to the guy that led them to the Super Bowl and the guy that's led them through so many good moments in the playoffs. You know, and it's only his third year, I believe, starting. Is it third, fourth year starting? He's led them, you know, to so many good moments in the playoffs that, you know, it's just hard to, you know, sort of imagine him having that type of performance. But, you know, he did. He'll move on from it. The Chiefs need him to move on from it. And we'll see a motivated and hungry Chiefs team next year, especially Mahomes, you know, after the up and down regular season that he had, only to, you know, come out firing, having a real good game against the Bills, having a real good game against the Steelers in a wild card round, and then coming out and just laying an egg in the second half and probably in the most important game of the Chiefs season to date. So he'll learn from this, he'll move on, and we'll come back stronger next year. I can guarantee that.
Yeah. No, I completely agree. On the other side, I mean, the Bengals, Joe Burrow plays well again, 250 yards, 2 touchdowns. The Bengals are going to the Super Bowl. That's pretty crazy to say. I did not like the play calling from Zach Taylor in this game a lot. They kept running on first down. That was weird. I felt like that really held the Bengals offense back. But Joe Burrow made the big plays when he had to, and Evan McPherson did his thing as this the new swaggy kicker in the NFL. And look at the Bengals. They're going to the Super Bowl. That's pretty incredible.
Yeah, I mean, you can't talk enough about what Joe Burrow did despite the limitations that were hampering him. Not just him, but the entire offense throughout the game. Not just throughout the game, but, you know, through the entire season as well. Zach Taylor's not a good play caller. Let's not get it twisted. There were rumors, you know, of him, you know, getting canned if the Bengals really didn't improve, and they were for good reason. You can say they didn't add a lack of talent, you know, and they just weren't able to put it together. Zach Taylor was not a good play caller, and he was not a good head coach the previous years before, you know, this season and the run they're making right now. He's still making the same mistakes that he made in those previous years as well. He's just getting them mashed up by the outstanding skill and talent of his skill position players. And even his defense coming out and he's bailing his tail out time and time again. So let's not get it twisted. Zach Taylor's still a bad play caller, and he's still not a good head coach in my humble opinion. But I don't want to spend too much time, you know, crapping on Zach Taylor. But, you know, since the whole topic of discussion is Joe Burrow, talk about the moments that he had in that second half, specifically that third and fourth quarter, where he had a couple of scrambles that extended a drive that basically sent that entire Chiefs defense into a little bit of despair. There was one in particular where Chris Jones.
Yeah.
We're talking about in the Chris grasp. Jones, yeah. One of the most physical, dominant, insanely good defensive players in all of the league. Chris Jones had Joe Burrow in his hands. Then Joe Burrow, instead of going down, rips out of the grasp of Chris Jones, scrambles out of the pocket, and gets a first down to extend a drive. I can't speak enough to how clutch a play that is. You know, and I won't say it's reminiscent of Eli Manning's weird play where he escaped the grasp of a Patriots defensive lineman and launched the ball down the field and ended up, you know, David Tyree with the helmet catch in the Super Bowl and all that jazz. I wouldn't say it would amount to that amount of magnitude, but it's pretty close in my opinion, because that was such a tense moment in the game. You know, the Chiefs were reeling, but they needed a stop. If they could get that stop, then they could, you know, rely on the talent that they have offensively and maybe get a play here and there. And they could seal the game potentially, but Joe Burrows, you know, took his cleat, took his shoe, stomped on the Chiefs' throat, and literally wheeled that team to a win in the second half. I mean, you can't say enough about what Joe Burrow did in that game, and even, you know, throughout the postseason as well, finding a way to win against the Las Vegas Raiders after a really bad second half. Well, not just him individually, but the offense as a whole was bad in the second half. He gets sacked nine times and was under constant duress by the Titans last weekend on a frigid afternoon in Nashville, Tennessee, and he still somehow finds a way to come out with a win. Then he goes on the road to potentially the most hostile playoff environment, you know, probably within the last half decade. And, you know, he wasn't under as much duress as he was, you know, in Tennessee, but he still was under duress, was still getting hit, and still found a way to upset Patrick Mahomes, you know, who's setting up to be the NFL's biggest moneymaker, you know, after Tom Brady, you know, eventually retires, but goes on the road, takes out the Chiefs, and now he's in the Super Bowl. And this is after he tore his ACL in his rookie year in a COVID-infested 2020 NFL season. That's something like a movie script. I mean, that's crazy. That's literally something like a movie script, man.
Yeah, no, I don't have much more to say. You put it pretty perfectly. I mean, the fact Joe Burrow came back this year, played as well as he did, and got them to where they were in the end, and they end up winning the conference. It's just crazy. And it's awesome for him. And, you know, it's pretty cool that we got to experience this as football fans, because it's one of the greatest stories ever. I mean, this team was 2-14 2 years ago. Like, they were, and he single-handedly, like, you can make the argument that he single-handedly, you can give credit to Zach Taylor all you want. And I mean, I think Zach Taylor is an okay head coach, but the reason the Bengals are where they are is because they have Joe Burrow. And Joe Burrow's just got something kind of moxie about him that you just don't see with a lot of quarterbacks. And yeah, it's exciting. It's exciting to see the Bengals moving on. And they did it without Ja'Marr Chase having a huge day too. T. Higgins was the guy that really stepped up today and made huge plays. For the Chiefs in the offseason, I know this sounds crazy, but they have a pretty good team, like, and they're mostly under contract. In the draft, I would really like to see them go out and draft another wide receiver. Get another weapon and just see if you can run it back. Because I do think that they're probably a weapon and maybe another defensive back away from making it to the Super Bowl again. And I certainly will be picking them to be in the AFC Championship game next year. Like, this isn't it for them. This isn't the end of the story, but the AFC is wide open right now for three teams. Most teams are the Buffalo Bills, the Kansas City Chiefs, and the Cincinnati Bengals. And I think for the next 5 or 10 years or so, those are going to be the teams that we're talking about in the conference championship every weekend.
Yeah, and it's you know, the big picture of those three teams is really a golden age of franchise quarterback play that's really taken the league by storm. First, it was Patrick Mahomes, then it was Josh Allen, and now it's Joe Burrow getting his chance to step into the spotlight and bring a once dead irrelevant franchise to the promised land for the first time in over, what, 30 years? So I'm excited for the future of this conference, because those three teams all have a chance to, you know, go toe-to-toe with each other and just go blow for blow. But because of that franchise quarterback play that's so many teams are lacking and so many teams are desperate for in this day and age. So I'm excited for the state of the AFC, you know, not just now, but for the future. And hopefully we can get some instant classics out of those three teams, sooner rather than later.
And hey, we didn't even mention, you know, Justin Herbert and Lamar Jackson are there too. Yeah. So those guys, and hey, if Zach Wilson could ever figure it out or Trevor Lawrence could ever figure it out, who knows? Never know. You never know. Well, Trey, I think that'll do it for us tonight. I wanted to keep this shorter. I think we successfully did so. Let's just let the people know our plans for the next week. So this coming week, unless there's huge breaking news, which I don't like somebody, when I mean huge breaking news, I mean Aaron Rodgers gets traded. You know, if Aaron Rodgers gets traded, or something like that, potentially Tom Brady might come back to play. We didn't mention that after our Tom Brady episode. Now there's conflicting reports, blah, 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 blah. We won't do an episode if that happens. There's going to be a lot of coach hirings this week. We'll cover those in our first off-season podcast. We'll go through and look at all the new coaches and kind of give our takes on each one of them. And that'll be good. So next week, we're going to take the week off unless Aaron Rodgers gets traded or Russell Wilson. One of those two guys gets traded, Trey, you and I will be doing this. But yes, as long as those guys don't get traded, we're going to take a nice week off for ourselves. Then Monday night, Trey and I are going to sit down and record a Super Bowl storylines episode. That one will be shorter, about half an hour, 45 minutes like this one. We'll talk about some of the biggest storylines going into the game. Thursday, we'll have a preview. And then Sunday, directly following the Super Bowl, we will be back at it. And then we're going to take a little bit of a break and come back in late February. And we'll go back to once a week again and be talking about the off season, and we'll do our combine previews and our free agency shows and our draft prep shows and then the draft. And then we'll probably take a little bit of time off in June, and then we'll come back and we'll start this whole crazy thing over in July, like we normally do. So that's kind of a plan for us. No episodes next week. Super Bowl week, expect three big week for us. So that'll be great. Trey, thanks so much for joining me, man. I appreciate it.
No problem, man. It was fun.
Absolutely. Follow him on Twitter at TreyWatkins099. Follow me on Twitter at Eric18Utah. Follow the podcast on Twitter at EndZonePod. We will see you all Super Bowl week. Peace out.